Broadcasting to New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Sydney, London, and around the world, this is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us on this weekend edition of Trumpet Radio Live. A lot to talk about today. We're just about 15 years on from 9/11. So where are we today? We'll take a look at some of the main headlines and see what life is like. It sure feels a lot like pre-World War II. Anti-Semitism on the rise, Germany arming, and now you can add to that nuclear tests by rogue nations. Pretty interesting. A lot to talk about on this weekend edition of Trumpet Radio Live.
Is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG online, kpcg.fm live link also at the trumpet.com. This is Trumpet Radio Live, the weekend edition. Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon with you here today. And we were talking a little bit before we came on the air about 9/11, of course. That's over the weekend. That's the 15th, if you can believe it, the 15th year anniversary since that happened. And people, of course, like to reminisce. Those that remember it, which it's always interesting when you talk to somebody that's younger and realize they were born after the fact. And it's you know, like ancient history to them. But for a lot of us, we remember it very specifically. You were saying you were younger, but you remember it. You were walking to school.
Right. My mother and I, for some reason, got to the school really early that day and walked into my teacher's third grade classroom. And she was already looking at it and on TV, so we just watched it with her.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I had worked late the night before, and so I was sleeping in a little later because I had to finish something at work. So I was going to sleep a little later and then head in. And I got a phone call from one of my coworkers, and they said, "Yeah, you might want to come in and take a look at what's going on." And I said, well, "What's happened?" And they said, "Well, you know, a plane hit the World Trade Center." And I thought of like a little plane. That was the first thing I thought of, like somebody. And I thought, well, yeah, that's strange, but I didn't realize what was happening. And then, of course, obviously, we all just, I mean, I think everybody, you just stood there and just kind of watched it happen. And, you know, the towers came down and so forth. So really, really something that I think we always remember. This is the 15th year anniversary of it. And so on today's program, of course, pretty normal in terms of going through headlines and stuff, but kind of in light of where are we, you know, 15 years later, what's the world like today? Some people would like to say it's better. I don't think the facts show that, though, sadly. And then we've got one specific story at the very end about how some people are still dealing with 9/11, some of the people that were the responders, and a lot of them got sick. And we have a story about that. So some people are still dealing with that in a very specific day-to-day way. So all of that coming up on this weekend edition of Trumpet Radio Live. As was talked about in the news today, North Korea conducted their fifth and largest nuclear test, drawing broad condemnation. So they've, of course, they've done a few of these, and there's always an earthquake that registers. And then they realize, oh, they had a test. I think it was a 5.3 or something, somewhere in there on the Richter scale. But North Korea conducted its fifth and biggest nuclear test on Friday and said it had mastered the ability to mount a warhead on a ballistic missile, ratcheting up a threat that its rivals and the United Nations have been powerless to contain. I don't know about that. I don't think we're powerless to contain it. I just don't think we've done anything about it.
Well, we're morally powerless to contain it, and we are also, in terms of willpower, powerless.
Yeah. This blast, it was on the 68th anniversary of North Korea's founding. It was more powerful than the bomb dropped on Hiroshima, according to some estimates. So that gives you an idea of what we're talking about here. And it drew condemnation from the United States as well as China. Well, that's always kind of... I mean, China could take care of them really easily if they wanted
to.
They
probably told North Korea to do it.
Yeah. But of course, they've got to, you know, come out and say, oh, we don't like it. But anyway, the under 32-year-old under the 32-year-old dictator Kim Jong-un, North Korea has accelerated the development of its nuclear and missile programs despite UN sanctions that were tightened in March and have further isolated the impoverished country. You know, those sanctions, they hurt the people, but it doesn't seem to hurt the leadership or their military development.
So why would they ever change what they're doing? It doesn't affect the people who are making the decisions at all. They don't care much about their people because so many of them are in those forced labor camps anyway. It's clear that sanctions won't do much.
Yeah. So U.S. President Barack Obama, he was aboard Air Force One on his way home from Laos when this happened, and he said that the test would be met with serious consequences. Well, we'll see. That's the thing you're supposed to say, but what are you going to do about it? And again, you know, we talked about this before. It's well documented. The same sort of agreement that we have with Iran was made with North Korea under President Clinton. And here they are blowing up bombs.
Worked out well, didn't it, for them?
You know? So anyway, if you're going to use history as some sort of a guide as to what you can expect in the future, you can expect the same sort of thing. The difference being that I don't know what the exact thinking is in North Korea or who's exactly pulling all the strings there, but they don't feel compelled to actually use it right now. They just want to show everybody they have it. But you get a power like Iran that is very compelled to use it. Well, you know, what's your report going to be then? It won't be that there was a test. It'll be that a nation's gone, right?
Yeah.
A city's gone.
Yeah, Iran has that mindset of, well, we have to make sure our Messiah comes, so we have to set off these bombs. North Korea, you know, they're communistic, and they don't really have as much of a motivation, a crazy motivation to do the same thing.
Yeah, so just an ongoing situation there in North Korea. This one hits closer to home here for those in the Oklahoma area. Of course, a lot of listeners around the world online at kpcg.fm. We appreciate you listening wherever you are. But here in the local Oklahoma area, there's a headline here. This is from what would you call it? The artificial reality that some people live in here in the United States. the fake world.
Virtual reality?
That might be what it is. Oklahoma University students mount protest over otherization, use of gender pronouns.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought you were talking about the technology.
Oh, I get you.
No, not virtual reality.
Yeah, it's their virtual reality, I guess. Yeah. It's it's an alternate reality. I think that's the word I was looking
Otherism.
For. Yeah.
Wow.
While North Korea is threatening the entire population of the world, some people are concerned about the use of gender pronouns. Students at Oklahoma University have taken to Twitter to share what they are describing as incidents of discrimination and harassment and draw attention to the university's failed efforts to promote diversity and inclusion. This is an outrage of the highest order, of course. Using the hashtag you are bad, the R is just the letter, not spelled out.
It's lazy.
And then they capitalized OU, so they're pretty clever there. Students have been sharing stories about microaggressions they face, the hostile climate on campus for people of color, and other such violations of the norms of inclusion and tolerance. I always find that phrase kind of funny, people of color. We're all people of color. Have you ever seen anybody that doesn't have a color of some kind?
Never. Never once.
The invisible man, maybe? Here's a couple of the tweets that were sent out. This one person tweets, it was like the academic version of, quote, go make me a sandwich, woman. How were women students supposed to feel in that class? So they were in some class, and apparently they were outraged, and they equated it to someone saying to them, go make me a sandwich, woman.
So offensive.
Oh, she'll never get a job as a waitress, I guess.
Yeah.
That's kind of the job, actually. Here's another one. They're talking about one particular professor, whoever it is. They said same professor consistently used gender as example of dichotomous variable because it's easy and there's only two options. Transphobia much? What an I mean,
sassy.
Very sassy. And for those that are wondering what the dichotomous variables are, they are variables that have two levels. A very common example of a dichotomous variable is gender, which has two outcomes and is reported as male or female.
So he used big words, so you know he's an expert.
Yeah, so they're just outraged by the fact that this example is being used because it's transphobic. Okay.
Well, and it's like they think the University of Oklahoma isn't liberal enough. I actually have a friend who used to go there, and she told me a story about how one professor actually started yelling at all the students because there weren't enough Democrats in the room.
Wow.
How can you not vote Democrat? As if what all we say, you know, we say about brainwashing all the
right.
time at these institutions.
Yeah.
A clear example right there. They're as liberal as you can ask for, but not liberal enough for these students.
Republican phobic much? Yeah. Well, I would hate to be in a situation of being a professor, because you can't say anything, because boy, you're going to microaggress someone. is that how you say it? You're going to offend somebody. I mean, the guy's just giving a basic example of something, and they're mad because he didn't use, I don't know, what is he supposed to use? You know, it's just ridiculous.
So he probably said inflammatory things like he and she.
Exactly, and they were outraged. Yeah, just outraged by it. One last one here. They say, when undocumented folks, I think they try to spell folks, F-O-L-X. When undocumented folks are, they should get a job writing license plates, personalized plates.
It is kind of impressive in a way.
We have to guess what the word is. When undocumented folks are called, quote, illegal aliens in lecture, it's easy to understand their otherization in the university. Well, they are illegal aliens, if that's what they are.
The official title for those people. That's not even derogatory.
Yeah, so they've been microaggressed. I don't even know if that's a real word, but I made it up.
We shouldn't even be too concerned about offending people who shouldn't be here in the first place.
Yeah, that's...
if they're offended while they're here, then...
for breaking a law, right. Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. So just some of the things that are kind of happening in some of the universities, it just goes on and on. There's going to be a real wake-up call there at some point where people are going to just put away all the nonsense and realize that there's a real world out there and there's serious stuff happening, and they're not going to have time to sit back and, you know, dream up, you know, offenses.
Yeah.
It's just foolishness. You don't have, I mean, you look at people like, let's say people in North Korea that are oppressed and barely eating in a lot of cases. I don't think they're too concerned about the gender identification. They're worried about their next meal.
It's hard to imagine that there's actually people out there who have a list of priorities, and at the very top is something like, gender pronouns and feminism, and then way down on the list, maybe if it's even on the list, is something like Iran getting the nuclear bomb, North Korea already doing their tests, you know, migrants flooding into Germany and tearing apart even the whole continent. Those things don't even matter to these people.
No, and you couldn't bring any of those topics up in a class, I don't think, because you'd step on some landmine of offense.
Yeah.
Of course, this weekend is the 9/11 anniversary, and sometimes people make a pretty big mistake with that, where they try to sell something. They make a sale off of something like that. Two examples here. Walmart got in trouble for this. This says Walmart removes Coke display in shape of doomed World Trade Center. They say here's a really, really bad way to honor the victims of 9/11. A Walmart store in Florida has taken down a large display of Coke products that depicted the doomed Twin Towers at the World Trade Center. After a Twitter user posted a photo of it, a large banner showing the skyline of Lower Manhattan with the Twin Towers hung over two pillars made up of stacked cartons of Coke Zero with the words, "We will never forget." So when you walk into the store, they've got those packs of Coke and they stacked them up like towers.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what their intent was. They were probably trying to do something nice, but at the end of the day, they're trying to sell Coke, and that's just kind of a distasteful, and people didn't appreciate it, so they apologized. They said Coke was the one that pitched it, and they thought it'd be an okay idea, and then, of course, they got some flack for it, and they took it down. So probably a little distasteful there.
Yeah, it could be. I actually did see this, and to be honest, I didn't think it was that offensive because it depicts the World Trade Center or the World Trade Towers as standing.
Yeah.
So it's actually a hopeful image in my mind, but I could see why people might not like it either.
Yeah, it's just probably because of trying to sell a product, mm-hmm. you know. So anyway, then there's one other one where there was a Texas mattress merchant. They did a video showing the Twin Towers of mattresses being knocked down. Now that's next level stupidity. So they made the news with that. They apologized, of course, and you know, you have to figure that somebody just wasn't thinking. And they thought it was a good idea and then realized, well, that was a really, really bad idea.
So. Not enough lines of defense to say, hey, that's not a good idea.
Let's not do that. So, I mean, you know, sometimes you see localized or local commercials and sometimes they're pretty bad, like poorly done or just really kind of cheesy. But I have to think that that's sort of on purpose sometimes because you remember those. You know, you think, wow, that's a really terrible commercial, but I usually remember that. And so maybe that's the psychology behind it. I don't know. But anytime you're looking, no matter where you live, and you're looking at local commercials, you just see some doozies. The guy yelling at you the whole time about buying, you know, carpet or a car or something. You're just like, calm down. Screaming at you. Yeah, so there's a... That's a whole nother topic you could go on and on about. And so that's kind of interesting. Here's one that's you don't hear about too often, leprosy. You don't get a lot of leprosy here in the United States, but there's a case of this in California, actually. Primary school kids struck down with biblical flesh-rotting skin disease, the headline says. Parents have refused to send their children to Indian Hills Elementary after receiving a letter warning of two possible cases. Can you imagine getting that letter? Just an FYI, parents. We probably have leprosy at the school.
It's back.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely wouldn't send your kids. They said the school's about an hour's drive from Los Angeles. They sent out the warning on Friday. And the superintendent said the school's classrooms had been decontaminated in response to the threat. I don't know exactly how you decontaminate for that. There's probably a process, but because we just don't see it a lot, I don't know. You just wash the walls or something? I hope you got it all. I mean, that's kind of a difficult thing to know there, I guess. Two students who had been warned of the potential diagnosis by a doctor had alerted the school's nursing staff, so it's good they did that. Then the parents, of course, have to make the decision. They say there's not a risk at this time, but boy, you can't take a chance on that. The students believed to have been infected have also been pulled out of class for the time being. So anyway, you don't hear about that too often, but I guess it popped up there in California.
It's a good thing that they're not forced to walk around carrying a bell notifying people that they're lepers. Avoid school.
That's right. Yeah, they don't have to be shamed, hopefully. But yeah, that's a serious disease. And it still is around. I mean, in different parts of the world, you see occasionally something like that. But we haven't seen that in the U.S. And boy, I can't remember the last time there was a story on that. But a horrible, horrible disease there. So yeah, those things pop up, I guess, from time to time. Here's the Of Course This Is Happening segment. And this one, Grant, is going to be close to your heart because you're a math guy. You teach a math class. You enjoy mathematics. This is a new write-up here. Of course, whenever you're talking about, say, universities and a lot of university professors, they've got to make a bit of a stir. You know, they got to come out with something new and flashy and a paper or a thesis or an idea on something. So this is from money.cnn.com. They say math is racist. Did you know that?
Oh, yes.
How data is driving inequality. So this is, you're thinking to yourself, okay, what is this? They say, this is their write-up. It's no surprise that inequality in the U.S. is on the rise. I don't think that's necessarily true. They say, but what you might not know is that math is partly to blame. I didn't know that. All this time, I didn't know. But now, here it is.
Thanks for enlightening us.
Yeah. I always knew that math wasn't my favorite subject, but it turns out I was taking the moral high ground.
Well, maybe it's the ones who bothered to learn math got really rich, and that's why there's some inequality. It just shows you it's worth learning.
Maybe so. There's this new book, and this is the title, Weapons of Math Destruction.
I always thought that would be a good one. I've thought of that before, actually.
Kathy O'Neill details all the ways that math is essentially being used for evil, they say. From targeted advertising and insurance to education and policing, O'Neill looks at how algorithms and big data are targeting the poor, reinforcing racism, and amplifying inequality. These WMDs, as she calls them, have three key features. They are opaque, scalable, and unfair. So basically what she's saying is people are looking at numbers to determine certain outcomes, and that she considers to be racist. She says, have you been denied a job? because of a personality test. Too bad. The algorithm said you wouldn't be a good fit. Charged a higher rate for a loan? Well, people in your zip code tend to be riskier borrowers. Received a harsher prison sentence? Here's the thing. Your friends and family have criminal records too, so you're likely to be a repeat offender. And that's why they say it is racist.
It's interesting because I pay a lot more on car insurance than I should have to. And I asked why one time, and the lady said it was because other males around my age tend to drive really recklessly.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? I see what you're saying. I don't like how I have to pay for other people my age doing something reckless, but I understand it. It's nothing to get offended about. It is pretty sensible to actually tilt things that way.
Well, sure. I mean, they gave the example of paying higher interest on a loan because of the zip code. Well, it's a bigger risk for the person loaning the money or the institution, and that's why they do it that way. Not saying that's probably the best way to do it, but that's the way they do it. Do they care what race you are? Absolutely not. They just care about the dollars.
Right.
You think they're not going to give a very wealthy person of color a good loan? Yeah, of course they would. They don't, because they have money. It doesn't matter. The
color
numbers,
that matters is green.
Absolutely.
As they say.
Yeah, that's right. The models are built, these algorithms, to predict a certain outcome. And the reason they're right is because they're right most times. It's pretty accurate. That's just the way it goes. And so, again, this is just somebody sitting there, I think, with too much time on their hands, and they got to come out with something splashy and sell their book, which I'm sure they're going to peddle to all their students as well, which is always a pet peeve of mine going to college. You know, professors like, I wrote a new book. You get to buy it. Lucky you. Talk about being that's racist. I don't want to buy your book. And we had to. So, but anyway, I just
thought.
That's
racist.
Might as well call it that. I don't throw it out there. But yeah, I mean, this is just numbers are numbers. That's the one thing I always thought, like, you can't manipulate too much. But I mean, I know they do all kinds of things with numbers, but I mean, they kind of are what they are. And but here they're trying to say that it's a racist thing. What do they want to do? Throw all the numbers out the window and just willy-nilly just give away money? And just how would this work?
It's interesting too, because even if you might pay a higher loan, nothing in this country is ever going to prevent you from doing something that you want to do, unless you're trying to be a criminal. Then there's laws against that. But if you have something slanted against you, it's because other people like you or living around you or your same age or your same gender typically trend a certain way. It's not that they've picked out all those people and said we don't like them. They are maximizing money, and that is their priority.
Yeah. She gives us an example here of what they want to see happen. They say, imagine if you used these models to provide the at-risk inmates with counseling and job training while in prison. Or if police doubled down on foot patrols in high-crime zip codes, working to build relationships with the community instead of arresting people for minor offenses. What a ridiculous conclusion. As if you can walk around in a high-crime zip code with your drug dealers and other things and say, can we just be friends? Could we just talk this out?
Put me in an armored tank in those areas. I'm not walking on foot in those parts of town where they see a policeman and take a shot.
Yeah. As if, you know, double the foot patrols in high crime zip codes. Okay. I don't think that's a bad idea, but they should be there to enforce the law. But they don't allow them to enforce the law. You know, and so it's just interesting how everything is being skewed to this, like, social justice sort of way of looking at things, and to come out with the idea that math is racist.
There's just a communist tinge to all of it as well, because it says, well, these people have it better off. It's not fair. You people who are down below should get upset about it and change the whole system so that you can all be on the same level.
Right. And I mean, we've seen that happen with test scores, you know. Well, that test is, you know, it is. They have said that some tests are racist. And so, therefore, you know, you have to admit people with lower scores. Well, they could work hard at something, just mm-hmm. the same as anybody could, whoever it might be. So, really, just strange, strange. Of course, that's happening. Math is racist. How data is driving inequality. Boy, it's just unbelievable. And it's funny how they did. There are certain things that they've thrown out there, have not proved, but they've said it so much that now it's stated like fact, like the beginning here where it says, well, it's no surprise that inequality in the U.S. is on the rise. It's just stated like it's fact. Mm-hmm. Really? This is a math article. What are our numbers here?
Yeah.
How and
that,
you, yeah.
Yeah. Even that word, sorry, that word inequality is kind of incendiary because, yes, there are rich people and there are poor people, but everyone who is poor has an opportunity to climb the ladder. It's not like people are holding a hand on your head and pushing you down the ladder. There's nothing like that happening. So, yes, there are rich people who do, in fact, employ thousands and millions of poor people. It's not like anything is rigged against you. You can climb if you want to.
Well, it's so funny, too, because life in general, it has different inequalities built into it. I always think about sports. How come I can't be a professional basketball player?
It's not fair.
It's unequal. And they tell me, well, you're not tall enough, fast enough, strong enough, big enough. I say, well, but that, how is that fair, though? Right?
Right.
Let me play. What's that? You know, and people would say, well, that's ridiculous, but there's no difference. There's nothing I can do to be as big and fast and tall and strong as, say, a LeBron James. I just can't. I'm just not that. That's not who I am. Is that unfair? Well, it is what it is, man.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do? Is he not supposed to play and reap the benefit because I'm sad about it?
That would ruin sports, but the same people who think that ruining sports is ridiculous would say, well, we need to have more women in these science and math fields, even if maybe not as many of them are studying or they're not getting as good of scores on tests. That's just an example I've heard recently. But there's plenty of examples like that. Why would you want less qualified people in any field?
Yeah, that it is communist. That's if you look at the history of Russia, Stalin. I mean, that's what they did. They imprisoned all the people that actually knew how to do things and just said, hey, who wants to build a bridge? So there are a lot of bad bridges out there.
Yeah. That's what happens. When you put some schlub who doesn't know the job into that position. It's not fair for everyone else who has to be treated by those people.
Yeah, and do people want to go to a doctor or a dentist that, you know,
no,
isn't qualified, but hey, give them a break. Let's see how it goes.
Let's glue some wires on your teeth. I don't know what I'm doing here.
Just sit back, though. I got a drill here, so hope it works out. But interesting, one of the things going on today, there is a brand new Key of David program this weekend here on KPCG. You can watch it on television as well. Check your local listings for that on thetrumpet.com. And you can watch a video there as well. It's A Secret Whirlwind Destroys Iran. It's talking about, this European force that's building. And the Bible talks about how that's going to have a conflict with this king of the south, Iran. And they're going to win. And Iran's going to lose. Spoiler alert. Iran is focused on America and the Jewish nation of Israel today, unaware that a rising German-led superpower already has it surrounded. So there's some good maps in the program. It shows you where Germany's already setting up some bases. They're not, or they have military, and it's not like there are a lot of people there, and that's why it's kind of under the radar, because there's a smaller group, but you can easily add to that once you've got a foothold. So they are surrounding Iran. They know that the U.S. isn't going to do anything about Iran's threat, but Iran is a serious threat. That terror push is already into Germany and into Europe, and they are making plans to deal with it.
Yeah, and Germany is the perfect mix of sounding like they don't want to get involved in world leadership, while at the same time they're just so strategic behind the scenes. And if you look on those maps that you mentioned, they have every single armament or outpost of Iran surrounded, and Iran doesn't even realize it. That's the amazing part.
Yeah, so really interesting program. Make sure you listen for that here on KPCG, and of course watch it as well. There's a headline that kind of ties into that from CSN. It says, amid concerns over rights abuses, proliferation, Holocaust denial, Germany pushes to restore economic ties with Iran. So they're having a meeting, and you know, you could look at that on the surface and say, hey, they're going to get along. They're going to be buddies. Au contraire. Don't be deceived. They definitely both want to be dominant. Two different religions, two different worldviews, two different goals, and yeah, they might meet and shake hands and make an agreement, but you can be sure there's going to be trouble a-brewing there in that region. So make sure you listen for that Key of David program this weekend. Trumpet Daily Radio Show as well with your host Stephen Fleury from Edstone, England. He was talking about just some of the some of the headlines that are pretty amazing. The EU is very excited and very vocal about their desire to build a military force to replace NATO. The U.S. says, well, that's great. It's being spoken about openly. And, of course, he goes on the show back in history a little bit to just after World War II. There's a very specific reason that we did not want Germany to rearm. And but today people just kind of think it's a good idea.
There are so many of our candidates today for president. Well, actually, I think all three of them, the three major ones at least, have said that America needs to withdraw from the world scene in a lot of areas and just take care of its own issues. And we forget the reason why we're all around the world in the first place, because last time we weren't in Europe very much. A world war broke out, and we finally had to go over there. And then even after the world war, we rebuilt Germany, who caused the war, and now we're trying to get out, as if that's going to prevent the exact same thing from happening again.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's people kind of think that, well, you know, Germany has to rearm, you know, to defend themselves. What happens when that defense turns into offense, though?
Yeah.
You know, there are some very specific global goals that nations have. And so really interesting program today in kind of in relation to that, just thinking about what it was like right before World War II. There's a write-up here from Breitbart. Israeli UN envoy says, Jew hatred at highest level of our lifetimes. Pretty amazing. And I think that shouldn't. It's a startling headline, but at the same time, I think we all know that's happening.
Even in this country and on college campuses, I read a book recently that talked about how Saudi Arabia, where 15 of the 9/11 terrorists came from, is donating millions of dollars to universities across America for these Arab studies programs.
Yeah.
And just to talk about, you know, objectively what's going on in the Middle East. But if Saudi Arabia is funding it, it's not going to be objective. And you see, based on the sentiments of all these college students, that they're being brainwashed into thinking that the Arabs are all the good guys and the Jews are the bad guys.
Yeah, and we had a story about that a couple of weeks ago where this guy wrote a piece. I think he's a Jewish guy, and he wrote a piece saying, yeah, if you're going to college as a freshman, get ready to be, you know, to be persecuted. This article says over one-third of European Jews are afraid to wear the yarmulke or Star of David in public. Danny Dannon said, more than half of French Jews have considered emigrating because they don't feel safe living as Jews in France. Today we hear things about Jews and the Jewish people that we thought belonged to the pages of history. Anti-Semitism is returning to everyday life without shame. And that's the thing. It's people are kind of proud of it in a way.
Speaking of France, they have something like 8 million Muslims there now. And the Muslims' book, the Quran, talks about how you can't be friends with the Jews and the Christians. So Jews would clearly feel uncomfortable with such a huge Muslim population there. And look at all the terrorist attacks that they've experienced as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, the whole nation, but the Jews know that they're a pretty big target of that.
Yeah, this guy, Dannon, who's this envoy, he said, we are living in a new era, and we face a new kind of anti-Semitism, using the tools of online social networks to demonize the Jewish people and the Jewish state. This is anti-Semitism 2.0. So even if people maybe wouldn't be so quick to go out and say protest or make a scene, they're more than happy to send a tweet or you know, make a negative comment. And it's in vogue. It's popular. It's popular to be anti-Semitic and pro, you know, whatever. Pick your country over there in the Middle East. Islamic. And so does this ring a bell to anybody? Germany rearming? Anti-Semitism? Have we seen this before?
Well, too many people think that history has no bearing on the present, when even throughout history you see the same cycles taking place over and over again. We have to realize that the same exact elements are in place that were in place for the last couple world wars.
Yeah. Well, this guy, it's a really interesting statement that this Danny Dannon makes. He says, it's like we're seeing things that we thought were on the pages of history. And I get what he means, but we're living on the pages of history, right? <Yeah. laughs> This is history. And we're living it. So anyway, really interesting just to see what's happening. And it ties back into some of the things talked about also on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, just with Germany's military expansion, Europe's expansion there, without the UK in their way. And those are some of the things that are going on. Pretty amazing. So make sure you listen for the Trumpet Daily Radio Show and the Key of David program this weekend, and the Trumpet Hour Week in Review also. We have a interesting story here that that you've got, Grant. This is about some of the things going on here in the United States. The title is Immigrants Preying on Americans with False Tales of Abuse to Stay in the U.S. This sounds like this would be a horrible thing to happen.
Yes, and it could easily be dismissed as a scare tactic to keep out all immigrants, but it is a really fact-based and expert-based article. It begins with a story about a 21-year-old boy at college who had a girlfriend, but every time she had a breakup speech, she would then pull him close and whisper, "Text me." So she'd be crying and breaking up with him, but then she'd say, "Text me." So totally contradicting messages there. And you might wonder, well, why is she asking him to text her when she just broke up with him? Well, every time he texted her, it was actually digital evidence to prove her claim that he was stalking her.
Oh, wow.
So she went and told the police, "Oh, this guy's stalking me." And so the guy's like, "Well, you just broke up with me, but you said to text me or to text you, so I'll do that."
Wow.
It actually became proof that he was supposedly stalking her.
And so she was doing this because she wanted to stay in the U.S. and she couldn't otherwise, or?
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe she was from Mongolia, but she basically, if you can accuse anyone of this, there doesn't have to be any hard evidence of it. As soon as you are perceived as a victim, you get the fast track to citizenship in America. And the thing is, most people who are pulling off this scam then go straight to government benefits.
Wow.
By basically committing fraud and then taking free money from the government.
Wow. Talk about a diabolical plan there.
Yeah.
I mean, to be falsely accused is a really tough thing because the burden of proof is supposed to be on the one bringing the accusation, you know, innocent until found guilty. But in a lot of cases, it's kind of the other way around. If you've been accused, people assume you did it until somehow you can prove you didn't. And in a case like this, it's very hard to prove you didn't. It's your word versus her word, and she'll probably get the benefit of the doubt in this case.
Yeah, and a lot of the time, truth doesn't even matter, because here, doesn't matter how the case turns out. They're still fast-tracked to citizenship, despite even being proved wrong. So that is quite extraordinary that we have laws like that in this country that would make such a thing possible.
I think it's a great example of people coming into the nation and seeing a way to manipulate it to stay. I mean, they know that the popular thinking is, you know, oh, the persecution, oh, the inequality and all of that, which if you're not a citizen, that's a ridiculous comment anyway. You're not a citizen. But you can see how they know people are sympathetic. They know people are going to jump on board with it. So they're just playing the system. Do they actually feel that way, like they've been taken advantage of? Of course not. But it doesn't matter, because they're just playing the media and that liberal thinking against itself for their own advantage. And they're just being played for fools, quite frankly, and going along with it.
People from afar all over the world can see that we're easily taken advantage of now in these areas, because supposedly we have to just go to war for justice for all these different people, even people who came here and are trying to stay here illegally. It reminds me a lot, actually, of the feminist cause of promoting or saying there's a rape culture in society, and how anytime a girl says that someone raped her, she should be believed. There are cases where the girl's been raped. There's also a lot of times where it's just an accusation, and they're even distorting the definition of rape to mean regret after the fact, and that's right. Still rape somehow. It's just there's no truth involved. I think that's the whole crux of the issue. There's no truth, but it's just exploiting a system, gaining the status of victimhood, which is pretty much the height status in America today.
Yeah, and it's even, I mean, it kind of even gets back to just some of the buzzwords that are out there, even if you look at the political cycle, where if you ask a lot of people about, say, a Donald Trump, they'll say, well, he's racist and he's a bigot. And they'll say, well, what did he say to, you know, that is that way? And they don't have anything. I don't know. Or, well, they'll say, well, he wants to build the wall. But again, they've just heard it. It's the thing to say. They don't even really know. They don't have any thought on it personally, probably, of like how that actually works logically. It's just the thing to say. And it's the same sort of thing here, where it's just they know if they say certain words or claim certain things, they'll get what they want.
Right.
And there's no actually truth behind it, and that's the problem.
And with this issue here, these were some well-meaning laws meant to protect women and children from abuse, but people are just gaming the system, and there's proof of it. It's not just someone using a scare tactic. The numbers of people submitting for a U visa application or a type of citizenship to the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services claiming to be victims of crime has increased dramatically in recent years. So 52,666 people last year claimed to be victims of crime, people on these types of visas. That's compared to just 24,768 such applicants in 2012. So the number of people claiming to be victims of crime in the last 4 years has more than doubled.
Yeah. It's a classic example of right and wrong kind of being flipped on its head, because the true numbers would probably be that there are more crimes committed against citizens from illegals. That's what's on the rise,
mm-hmm.
even just because there's more of them. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have more crime, and they'd have plenty of facts that there is more crime, but they're flipping it around and saying, actually, we're the ones that are having crimes committed against us.
Right.
It's just completely flipped.
Yeah, that is amazing. Because we know if people are thriving where they are, they're not going to try to come to America. So we're not getting the supposed valedictorians from these other nations. We're getting people who are, in a lot of cases, desperate and more likely to commit crime. That's not a racist comment. That is just, if you use a couple seconds of logic, you can agree with that statement. It says here, it can't be that there has suddenly been a wave of domestic violence or victimization of immigrants. Instead, the advocates for illegal immigrants have realized that these special green card programs are a way to launder the status of many illegal aliens in the absence of a larger amnesty. So until somebody is able to give amnesty to everyone who is already here illegally, this is the best way to do it. Apply for this type of a green card, then claim victimhood and get fast-tracked to citizenship.
And then what happens to these people like the gentleman in the beginning that get accused? Are they being found guilty? Or, like you said, it doesn't really matter, but what happens to them? Are they being punished?
It's ruining a lot of people's lives, actually, because not only are these people having their hearts broken, thinking that maybe they could have pursued a serious relationship at the right time, it's not just that. People are being accused and convicted of crimes such as, I guess, stalking. This example in the story, actually, the first time it was a hung jury, but yeah, the second time he was convicted for it. And, you know, basically he's texting her because she asked him to.
Right.
Every time he would text her, she asked him to, but apparently that was enough evidence to convict him.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that's on your record that you're a stalker, which is, you don't want that on your record. That's a bad thing, obviously. Mm-hmm. It'll affect your employment. It'll affect a lot of things down the road. Just a vicious cycle of things. And like it shows here, it's gaining in popularity. So do they give any hints on how to avoid this? Just be careful, I guess.
Right. They do say that. Well, they're trying to raise awareness of this issue because, I mean, it's really hard to tell if someone comes into the country and seems really sincere about wanting to spend time with you, and then all of a sudden they're turning on you like this. It's a little bit hard to tell. And not only can you be sent to prison, some of these people have their bank accounts emptied by these newly minted resident aliens.
Mm.
So they're losing everything because someone pretended to have an interest in them. And then these same people, these resident aliens, go straight to the government dole. They go straight to the handout programs. But it talks about here how this is a very common scheme, and immigrants are actually eligible for pro bono legal help, which is pretty much cost free. But that's not available to citizens who are accused by these immigrants. There are a lot of problems in the system right now that people are exploiting. It also is a type of fraud that poses a severe threat to homeland security and public safety, because it creates a vulnerability for criminals to gain entry just by coming over here. And then as soon as they get here, they can claim that they're a victim and they can stay. So a terrorist could do this as well.
Yeah. Well, every time there's some sort of, I guess, even moderate law that's put in place, they find a loophole, or the people find a way to abuse it. And it's terrible, because there are people that do legitimately would like to come to the United States, want to do it legally, and should be allowed to. But when you have these things happen, that just makes them look bad too. And I think a lot of the pushback against illegal immigration is actually from people that have come here legally.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, well, we went through it the right way, and we're actually trying to build a life here, and now we're lumped in with everybody that's just committing crimes left and right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I feel bad for them as well.
That's why there are plenty of Hispanics who actually do support Donald Trump's plan to build the wall. They're here legally. That's the difference. The ones here legally actually largely would support Donald Trump, because they took the time, they spent years going through all the legal processes to get here the right way, and now they're seeing people just flood across the border and being allowed to stay. That would obviously be infuriating to a lot of them. It's not that this is that these are policies against all races and all immigrants, and that we don't want anybody here, but the ones who are coming here illegally and then causing problems while they're here, why should we put up with that?
Well, it's so funny if people get upset about the idea of building a barrier, because everybody has a barrier. If you have a house or a place of residence, what is it made up of? It's a series of walls.
Yeah.
Why are they there?
Right.
So other people can't get in.
Mm-hmm.
I just go through the door, have a key. But if people don't have a key, they can't, and that's good. I don't want them in there. Mm-hmm. I don't think that makes me a bad person. I just don't want random people in and out of my house.
Yeah, and another common logical fallacy here is to focus on the immigrant crimes being such a big problem when we have plenty of people already here committing problems.
Right.
Yeah, but we can't deport Americans as easily as we can deport illegals. So it's a totally different issue. Obviously, we don't want anyone committing any crimes, but why invite more people to come in and commit crimes when they shouldn't be here in the first place?
Yeah, just comes down to a simple law. So it'll be interesting to see if what comes of it during these presidential debates. But this is a really interesting story, Grant, and it's good to talk about it, because you do have to protect yourself from potential scams. Don't be too quick to fall in love, I guess. That's
right. Make sure you really know the person.
Make sure you know what's going on before something like that happens. One more story today. This is in relation to 9/11, of course, the 15-year anniversary over the weekend here. And this is from NBC News. The title is "Endless Attack: Sick 9/11 Responders Still Struggle to Get By." So there are people out there that were first responders, and now they're battling life-threatening illnesses, cancer in a lot of cases. And for anybody that, was watching it as it happened, or has seen the footage since, I mean, one of the startling images, I guess, is the cloud of debris, the debris cloud that's just overflowing Manhattan there. And, there was nowhere to go, and people were running inside of shops trying to get out of the way of it. And there's a lot of chemicals and a lot of stuff that you shouldn't ingest, but people did. This gives the example of a gentleman by the name of Sal Tursi. He's never spent the anniversary of September 11th, they say, at the site where the Twin Towers once stood, even though he worked for 4 months after the attack operating machinery that transported body parts from Ground Zero. How's that for a job?
Oof.
Wow, 4 months doing that. It's like working in a war zone. But they took him there to a makeshift morgue. The former EMT wasn't in Lower Manhattan on the day the planes hit, and he has always left the annual remembrance ceremony to the families of those who perished there. It says, but this year is different. For the 51-year-old father of three, it will be the first anniversary of September 11th since being diagnosed with terminal liver cancer, and the first he feels he has an obligation to commemorate at the World Trade Center Memorial. He says, I died that day. I'm trying to hold on as much as I can, but sooner or later I'm going to succumb to this, referring to the disease, the cancer that he has. So, you know, he didn't know what he was working, but he was actually being poisoned as he did that.
That is really sad. I've heard stories about this as well, where there a lot of these first responders and people who have worked on site there did get sick, and not much is being done to help them in that terrible situation.
Yeah, there's all kinds of problems that have come from it. It says 15 years have passed since the worst international terrorist attack in history claimed the lives of nearly 3,000 people, more than 400 of whom were first responders. You know, they had to run into the disaster to try to help people. Since then, tens of thousands have developed illnesses stemming from exposure to toxins at Ground Zero. Many, like the gentleman in this story, will never recover. As of June 30th, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's World Trade Center Health Program had enrolled more than 5,400 people diagnosed with cancers linked to 9/11.
Wow.
So you had 3,000 die that day, and now you've got another 5,400 so far that have terminal cancer because of it.
It just goes to show you how damaging such a large-scale attack can be. This isn't even any type of a bomb, and yet long-term, that place has been infecting a lot of people with different illnesses. There were no chemicals involved, no particles in a bomb that could have caused these types of things, nothing like Chernobyl.
Yeah.
And yet the toxins from just the buildings collapsing have been killing people.
Yeah, they say many like this guy are too sick to work. They rely on things like Social Security, disability benefits, workers' compensation, pension payments, and the September 11th Victims Compensation Fund to pay their bills, but it's not enough. It says, yet despite numerous government programs designed to help, September 11th survivors, responders, and cleanup workers, including most notably a federal health care program established under the 2010 Zadraga Act and reauthorized last December, still are struggling to get by. He says, everybody thinks we got the bill passed in 2010 and it's been all unicorns and rainbows. This is John Feel, the founder of Feel Good Foundation that advocates for September 11th. Clever name there. He says the reality is there are still people who are falling through the cracks. And in the case of the gentleman that we're talking about here, Sal, he I think they get $2,000 a month. And then his wife gets some pay from her job. But that's not enough to get by very comfortably today. And he can't do anything because he's sick.
Especially living up there in New York. It's probably, if he's still living up there in New York, I'm sure a lot of those victims are. That's a lot more expensive than somewhere like here. And even here, it would be more difficult to live on something like that as well.
Yeah, you'd have to really stretch the dollars. So again, you know, these are some of the people that are really, you know, they are heroes. They're courageous, and they went in there and tried to save people, and in some cases, probably definitely did. And like this guy, like Sal, I mean, he had to work there for 4 months, moving the body parts, and even that job, you know, it meant a lot to the survivors, you know, to the families. Because you want the remains identified in a lot of cases. So, you know, it's one of those things where it happened and there was so much just shock and people are in there working. And if you go back and you look at the footage, you think, wow, those people are getting sick, you know, and they, well, didn't think about it because you just got to get in there and do a job. And yet 5,400 plus now are terminally ill. It's amazing.
Yeah, the death count from that terrorist attack just keeps rising. It's not just about the number who died that day. It just keeps on going up, and it just shows you also the need to deal with external threats like that, threats that are even coming to this country in a lot of ways.
And I would just say this too. You have people like this who are not getting a whole lot, and yet we're trying to throw money at people that aren't citizens.
Right.
I would think the wise thing to do there would be to take some of that and help these people out. He has three kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and massive medical bills, I'm sure.
And he's looking at a death sentence here in the near term. And so a lot of people like that. And it's good to remember them and what they're going through as we think about 15 years on since the September 11th attacks there. So interesting. Is the world a better place, Grant, you think, 15 years later?
Well, people are more capable of selfishness now, that's for sure. That's not a good thing, though, because there's people who are scamming the system and taking money from people like that who desperately need it.
And Germany rearms, and there's anti-Semitism, and Iran is, you know, on its path to a nuclear bomb. There you are.
But we have better video games.
We do have better video
That's
games.
That's about it, though.
and the big concern over the weekend, or, well, I shouldn't say the big concern, but one of people's big thoughts is, well, are NFLers going to protest the national anthem?
It'd be very disrespectful if they did.
Yeah, on September 11th, too. So anyway, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. And those are just some of the things going on in your world, in our world. Make sure we listen. You listen for the Trumpet Daily Radio Show coming up here in a little bit. And the brand new Key of David program this weekend. And the Trumpet Hour Week in Review as well. All of that programming this weekend, and you can find it online at kpcg.fm at the archives if you'd like to listen to it there and download it. Thanks for joining us this week on Trumpet Radio Live. For myself, Dwight Falk, and Grant Turgeon, have a great weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday. You're listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG.
You're listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG.